very much for blessing us with your presence here tonight. Readiness, preparedness, watchfulness were concerns of our Lord, especially in connection with his second coming. Matthew 24 and verse 42, therefore,
it's the same thing.
Be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. And then a similar statement from Mark chapter 13, verse 33, take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. Readiness, preparedness, watchfulness, as I said, were certainly concerns of our Lord, especially in connection with his second coming. And please keep in mind what Jesus said here, therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know. So, we cannot let anyone tell us when the Lord is coming. We do not know that. That is something that God will decide. The important thing is for all of us to be ready. And so tonight, I want you to reflect on some areas where we need to be ready. Number one, are we ready to preach the gospel? Paul in Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So we need to be ready to preach the gospel. We need to be eager to share God's truth. Because the gospel is, as Paul said here, the power of God for salvation. And so as we sometimes sing, if the name of the Savior is precious to you, if his care has been constant and tender and true, if the light of his presence has brightened your way, then will you not tell of your gladness today? So we certainly have something to share with our people or with people here in our community and with the world. So we need to be ready to preach the gospel. Number two, are we ready to work for the Lord? This morning we talked about putting our hands to the work of the Lord. In Titus chapter 3, verse 1, remind them to be subject to the rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. God is not so much concerned with our ability as he is with our availability. And I hope that we all will try to develop the spirit of Isaiah, who said, here am I, send me. When God said, who shall I send, or who will go for us? And Isaiah responds in that way, Lord, here am I, send me. So let's be ready to do the work of the Lord. Number three, are we ready to make a defense? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. So Peter is encouraging us to set apart Christ in our hearts, and that we want to always be prepared to be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks us to give an account of the hope that is in us. And yet we do it with an attitude of gentleness and reverence. Now I know sometimes people may ask us some things that maybe we do not know the answer to their questions. But keep in mind, Peter is saying that I want you to be ready to give a defense of the hope that is in you. And we all can do that. We have that hope, and we have a reason for that hope. And that's what Peter is encouraging his readers here to do. Number four, are we ready to think? Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Meditate on those things. Think about those things. you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on things that are on earth. And Paul lists six things that we can think about in the passage I read from Philippians. Whatever is true, there are absolute truths. Truth is not relative. There is a God who is in control. Jesus Christ is His Son who came to this earth, who died on the cross. God raised Him up. He's sitting at God's right hand, interceding for us. And He is the only way to salvation. There is no other way. Jesus promised to build His church, and He did. And there is one body, and that one body was purchased with the precious and powerful blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. Sin is still sin, regardless of what culture and society says. And it is that which separates us from God. There is a heaven, a place prepared for those who are faithful unto death. And there is a hell prepared for the devil and his angels, for those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those are some truths that we can think about and dwell on and meditate. You may recall that Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 said that the apostles were fools for Christ's sake. If the world calls me a fool for believing and teaching that the gospel is the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, then I will gladly be a fool for Christ's sake. If the world calls me a fool for believing the Bible is the inspired word of God, then I will gladly be a fool for Christ's sake. If the world calls me a fool for believing that sin separates us from God and the wages of sin is death, then I will gladly be a fool for Christ's sake. If the world calls me a fool for believing and teaching that the only way to God is through Jesus, then I will gladly be called a fool for Christ's sake. But then Paul said we need to think about what is honorable or noble. We need to think about the kinds of things that lift our minds up from the cheap, the vulgar, the lewd, the crude. Think about what is right. For some translations use the word just. Think about what is right or just. Think about the pure. Meditate on the pure. Think about the lovely. Think about that which is a good repute. In some translations, we use the word admirable. Think about that. And so Paul is here encouraging us to think about such things. Let your minds dwell on them. Meditate on these things. Are we ready to live? Paul in Philippians 1, verse 21, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That verse becomes a valuable test of our lives. For me, to live is, and then to die is. You fill in the blanks yourself. For me, to live is money. And to die is to leave it all behind. For me to live is fame. And to die is to be forgotten. For me to live is power. And to die is to lose it all. For me to live is power. And then to die, Paul said, will be made. Are we ready to live for Him? In Titus chapter 2, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. So Paul writes about both what is negative and what is positive. He says this grace of God is our instructor, and it is teaching us, first of all, to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, but then to live sensibly, to live right with ourselves, to live righteously, to have the right attitude toward others, and to live godly, to have the right attitude toward God. Inward, outward, and upward. Three dimensions that Paul is talking about here in Titus chapter 2. And that's how we're to live, Paul says, in this present age. Are we ready to die? Second Timothy chapter 4. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. Paul says the time of my departure is coming. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. The Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Would you say from those verses that it appears, it looks like that Paul was ready to die? The time of my departure has come. And so Paul can look back and he said, you know, as I look back on my life, I really believe that I have fought the good fight. I'm about to finish the course, and I have kept the faith. And Paul had the confidence then to say, henceforth, there was laid up for me that crown of righteousness with the Lord, the righteous judge, the Lord to me, but not only to me, but to all of those who had loved his. Are you ready? Not meaning to be born in your American life, but that's real. And that's something, as I look back on my now nearly 50 years of ministry, and seeing there, being there, when people were about to give up their last breath, what encouragement was for those who I knew in my heart that they were ready. And then there were those who were just scared. Scared. Are you ready? Please live your life in such a way that you will be ready when that day comes. Because life is brief. Life is uncertain. Death is certain. Eternity is forever. And those are some things that we need to be prepared and to be ready when that time comes. But of course, when that time comes, then the next step is, are we ready to be judged? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. That's one thing. That's one point that none of us in this room will miss. We are all going to appear before the judgment seat. Paul kind of personalized it there in Romans 14, so that each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Are we ready? Are you ready? It is very, very important for us to be prepared. It is imperative that we be vigilant, on the alert, always watching, always realizing that the Lord can come at any time. And that used to be something, as I was coming up, that they would really, really, really go into in great detail. You know that He may be coming before you leave this building. Now, you may leave this building, He may be coming, so you do not want to leave this building without being ready for the coming of Christ. I mean, those were the kinds of things that, as I recall, you know, coming up in my early preaching. So sometimes, maybe we don't emphasize some of those things enough, but I do believe that it is important for us to leave here tonight believing in our heart
that we are ready,
and that I have done my very best also for me to live as Christ and then to die. We all remember the old hide and seek, don't we? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Here I come. Now, I was not real good at hide and seek. If I always kind of like, I just want to encourage all of us to be ready. To be ready to do the various things that we have shared, you know, here tonight. But perhaps most important, to be ready to die. And to be prepared to be God. If you need to make a response tonight to the gospel of Christ, either through faith, repentance, and baptism, to become a child of God, or you need to come back to Him and ask the prayers of the congregation for you as you try to rededicate your life to Him, we're here to serve you, to help you, to encourage you in any way that we possibly can. Let's stand and sing our song.